This is your tech news briefing for Friday, May 15th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. What could going back to your office look like? Our reporter Parmi Olson says it could include AI-powered sensors that track people's movements to make sure they're properly social distancing. Parmi will join us to explain, but first, these headlines. We spoke earlier this week about how the Trump administration has been working to incentivize chip makers to open factories in the U.S. That's semiconductor chips. They want to reduce the U.S.'s dependence on chip makers overseas. Now it looks like the world's largest contract manufacturer of silicon chips is on board. We report that Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company is set to announce plans for an advanced chip factory in Arizona later today. Several consumer advocacy groups filed a complaint against TikTok on Thursday for violating child privacy laws. They're calling for the Federal Trade Commission to investigate whether the social media company is illegally collecting personal data from users under the age of 13. A spokeswoman for TikTok said the company takes privacy seriously and that it's committed to keeping the platform safe for everyone. And last but not least, it's Friday. And you know what that means. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, is back with her work from home tech tips of the week. Hey, Joanna.
I'm back. Never left, actually.
How's week 9 of working from home going for you?
It's not called working from home anymore. It's just called working.
Wait, I thought I heard a kid in the background there.
It's funny. Right now, I just turn my head a little bit and I see my dog behind me and he is scratching at the door. And do you want to know how I see that? I look into a rear view mirror that I've installed on my monitor.
Oh.
So backstory here is I was on live TV a couple of weeks ago, and the way my office is set up is my desk is facing towards a window and behind me is the door. And when I set up and I was looking at my shot and you could see the door behind me, I was like, oh, wow, I could be the next BBC dad, which for all of you that remember, this was the viral video where the adorable kids kind of just came in the back and the daughter was dancing and she was the cutest thing. But he had no idea what was going on. And so I was worried the same thing could happen. So I set up my iPhone and I used the front facing camera to see sort of as a rear view mirror so I could glance down to see if I could see anything. Many people probably wondering, well, why don't you just look at your screen? Well, can't you just see the video? But when I was looking at some notes on my computer screen as I was talking, so I didn't want to be looking at myself too, because I find looking at myself is distracting. So I did this, and then I sort of wondered, well, why don't I just get like a little rear view mirror and put it on the side of my monitor? Turns out they make such a thing. You can search for this on Amazon and you can buy it. And that's exactly what I did.
All right. Good idea. So we do have some actual high-tech tips of the day.
Are you saying that wasn't a high-tech tip?
Well, yeah, I am. We're talking about VPNs. First of all, explain to everyone what a VPN is if they don't already know.
Yeah, so VPN stands for Virtual Private Networks. And the simplest way that I always like to explain this is basically it creates a tunnel between your computer and the service you're connecting to, but it's a private tunnel. And this tunnel encrypts all the data that's going through it. So if you are worried about hackers snooping on your activity, this would make it much harder for them to see. And what they could see would be just basically gibberish. That's what the encryption does.
A lot of people use these for work. We obviously use them for work. Is there any benefit for people to use VPNs if they're not actually required to do so?
Yeah, so I heard when we started this whole work from home tip thing, I heard from a lot of readers asking, should they be using VPNs when they're working from home, especially if their company either doesn't offer it or should they be using their companies for certain types of activities? And so I'll answer that in two ways. The first is if your company offers it, you really should just have it turned on. There's no harm in just having the VPN, connecting to it and going about your daily business on your laptop, whether that be emailing, whether that be uploading or working on documents or even just conversations. There's no problem. Just have that VPN turned on. If you don't have one through your company and you are worried that maybe your home Wi-Fi network isn't as secure or you're worried about the services not being as secure, you can get a VPN on your own. Look for what you think could be a reputable VPN. I've also gotten a lot of questions about, is this VPN good? Is that VPN good? My main thing is avoid free VPNs. Anything free when you're talking about security and privacy is usually not a great thing. Two that I like, one is called Anchor Freeze Hotspot Shield, and the other one is called NordVPN.
All right. Joanna, thank you so much. We have a few weeks left for people to ask questions and tell us their stories. Where can they do that?
Yeah, we are going to start to wind down here, so you have to get them in.
Yeah.
So please continue to send tips or questions to me at joanna.stern@wsj.com or leave a message on our hotline. We really would love some more messages. Number is 314-635-0388.
Okay. Joanna, have a great weekend.
You too.
After the break, how some employers could be using AI to enforce social distancing in the office. Many people are still working from home, and those who are thinking about going back to work realize it may look a lot different than it did pre-pandemic. We've talked a lot on this podcast about some of the measures that employers are starting to think about or even to implement to keep people safe, things like plexiglass barriers and one-way walkways. As many states begin to reopen, some workplaces will also be repurposing some AI-powered sensors, also known as people-counting cameras, to enforce social distancing in the office. Our reporter, Parmi Olson, has been doing some digging into these, and she joins us now to talk about it. Parmi, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right. So, Parmi, first of all, can you just explain how these sensors work and what they're normally used for?
Sure. So these sensors are effectively like cameras. They have a computer vision technology working behind them through a lens that captures images. And it's able, through artificial intelligence and algorithms, to detect what it's looking at. So these sensors that are being used now to help enforce social distancing, in the past, they were used to count people and just see where they were moving. So if a company wanted to get a sense of whether this 20,000 square foot office space that it has, they want to check if, you know, one particular part is being used or not, then they can put these little cameras all over the office, maybe 20 or 50 cameras, and just detect whether bodies are actually walking into the conference room, whether people are actually sitting in these chairs or not. And if they're not, then maybe they don't really need that space anymore. Maybe they don't need that particular lease. So the idea till now has been to use these sensors to kind of trim real estate costs, essentially.
So what you're saying is the people weren't really the focus. It was actually more the space itself. It sounds like the technology is now being updated to focus the lens a little bit more on the people.
That's right. So companies who make these kinds of sensors, all of a sudden in the last few weeks, have been seeing this surge in demand from employers who need to track social distancing in the office and make sure that they're complying with government guidelines for their staff to stay 2 meters apart. And it so happens that this same technology that's counting people and tracking how many bodies are in a room can also measure how far apart they are. Now, these companies that make these systems will insist they don't track faces, they can't identify people, the images are very blurry, but from what they can detect, they can tell that there are these bodies in this room and there are perhaps 5 people in a conference room when there should only be 3 people in a conference room. And these are the kinds of rules that employers are putting into place. And the idea is that with these systems, these cameras, they can now get a score for how well they're doing. So one company I spoke to would give you a score out of 10, with 1 being terrible and 10 being great. And if your office scored 8 for the week, then you're doing pretty well on social distancing.
It sounds like the analytics for these were much more a long term, like they were looking at use of a space over a long period of time. It sounds like this time frame is getting a lot smaller, where they could be pretty specific about that use.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think what these companies and employers were looking for was a sense of how much money we're paying per month or per year. And so they didn't need this kind of data every week or every day. Now they do need this data much more frequently than they did before. So it's not only a kind of repurposing of the technology, but also the people who buy these devices and use the analytics software are probably going to be using them a lot more frequently than they were before.
Are we just seeing the surge in demand here in the U.S., or is this kind of a worldwide phenomenon?
So I spoke to one company who's based in India, and they have these same kinds of cameras that they're selling to offices, consultancies, IT outsourcing firms across India, Japan, Singapore. I think over the last 6 years, they had sold something like 20,000 of these sensor/cameras. And then just in the last 2 months, or last month even, they had sold another 10,000. So it's been a huge jump, and not just in the U.S., but certainly in Asia as well.
We talked about some of the other measures that employers are taking very specific to the coronavirus, like putting up plexiglass barriers or spreading desks apart. In all likelihood, a lot of those will go away when this is over and we found a cure or even a vaccine for the coronavirus. But your estimate is that these cameras might be here to stay. Why is that?
Yeah, and this is even something that one of the employers I spoke to who bought a whole bunch of these devices said this was one of the reasons they're investing in this, is because the plexiglass isn't going to be there forever. So that's a short-term investment. And they felt, if we want to spend money on this, let's spend money on something that we can use for the long term. So they could go back to using it for assessing real estate, or, as is one concern by a privacy person that I spoke to from Stanford, there's a chance that companies could use these devices to track productivity. It seems to be kind of a gray area, because one of the customers I spoke to did say, we were previously already using these sensors to see how long people were staying at their desks and whether they were collaborating. So it isn't just about real estate. There seems to be some wiggle room for already how you could use these kinds of sensors.
But that is the kind of mission creep we've heard about a lot of the new technologies that are being used here, the contact tracing and surveillance as well. What do the companies behind these products say about those kinds of security concerns?
Well, they do say that their devices do respect people's privacy because, for example, they can't identify you. It's a much more passive way of monitoring an office than, for example, a centralized Bluetooth app that every employee has to download in order to get into the building. There are some companies that do this. And with Bluetooth tracking or with Wi-Fi tracking, you can actually identify who the person is on their phone. So that's sort of invisible, but it's in a way much more invasive than an actual tiny camera on the ceiling that can see you, but see you in a very blurry way and not really see who you are. So another thing that the vendors point out is that the actual images that these devices are capturing typically would not get seen by an employer. They are entirely processed by algorithms, either on the device that's capturing the images or on some cloud server somewhere. So you could argue that there's someone could come in and hack that, but for the most part, these vendors are saying that typically a customer would just never be able to see those images.
All right. Our reporter, Parmi Olsen, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Don't forget, you can share your tech tips and questions with Joanna. Our contact information is in the show notes, and Joanna will be back next week to share some of her favorites. If you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, you can follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. Tech News Briefing is produced once again by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.